Thank you for this day. We thank you that we can come to you and study your word and bring these requests to you. Do pray for Jan Cornett as she has surgery Tuesday. We pray that that would go well. Thank you that Nicholas is doing well. Do pray for Michaela as she, here in a couple of weeks, will have her appendix removed. And Lord, just do work in her life. And think of Lori's uncle having surgery Thursday. God, pray that you would do a work there in that life. And I don't know if the man is saved or not, but I pray the surgery would go well. Continue to touch Charlie and bring her back to health. And then, Lord, we do think of these other requests for Maxie really struggling and with her jaw. And think of Hannah, she and Anna Grace, both with some physical problems. Do pray for the Martins as they close in their home Friday, that all would go well, not have any complications there. And think of the Bullard family at her death. We pray you'd comfort them. And for Anna Marie and her family, do pray for her brother and sister specifically, that they might see the need of salvation. Think of Craig's family also, and many in our group that have unsaved loved ones. And Lord, may you just give opportunity. Give us a broken heart for those that are lost. And God, help us to have opportunity to share Christ with them, we pray. And Lord, just ask you now to bless our time together as we look at your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Yes, let's pray. Tim Silvers had prostate surgery this last week and has really had some issues. And let's pray for him also. Lord, we do want to also pray for Tim. Lord, you know that he's really struggled this week with some infections and things. And pray that you'd just touch Tim and encourage him and help him in this time. And as he's awaiting test results about the cancer and all. And Lord, just help him to lean on you. And Lord, really minister to him this week, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. What's that? Yes. Yeah, I think Pastor announced that Wednesday. We'll continue to pray for them. In recent weeks, as we've been studying in 2 Samuel, I've kind of touched on this topic a couple of times, and as far as I know, I've never taught a full lesson on this topic, and so this morning, I want to take the whole lesson, to be honest with you, because there's been some things in my life in the last several months that I've needed this lesson. And I'm going to teach a lesson this morning I've entitled, When God is Silent. When God is Silent. If you've been saved very long and been through any trials at all, you've experienced times when God didn't seem to be anywhere around. And you prayed and you prayed and nothing seemed to happen. And you read the Word of God, and God didn't speak to you through His Word, and there was no sense of God's presence in your life. And you just, it's a struggle. And the simple matter of fact is, all of us, if you haven't experienced that, you will at some point in your Christian life. And I want to try to help you with that this morning and see how we should respond when God is silent. So let's get moving and see what happens. Number one, the record of God's silence. And I want you to turn to Job chapter 23, because when I think of a scriptural example, it is the man Job. Did Job have trouble? My. Job had more trouble than any of us could ever dream of. He lost most of his livestock, lost most of his servants, most of his children. He lost his health. He wished he'd lost his wife, but she stuck around to give him a hard time. Job had some tough times, and let's see what happens. Job chapter 23, verse 1. Then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning." Now here's the verse that came to my mind. "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might even come to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand that he would say unto me, will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. Wow, what a testimony. Here is a man and it's all fallen apart. And you know, the simple matter of fact is, you would think that's when he'd know God's presence. I mean, hasn't the Lord promised that he would be there when we need him? I mean, we're commanded to come to the throne of grace that we might find help when? In time of need. I mean, that's what God tells us to do. Are we not told that God is a very present help in trouble? And yet here Job is, the worst time of his life, and there's no sense of God. He cannot see God working. He cannot, God is not giving him any information. He can't find God. He's looking everywhere. There's no sense of God's presence. God is silent. How many know the name C.S. Lewis? Many of you are probably familiar with that now because of the Chronicles of Narnia, which is a popular thing that's out now. What you may not know is that his wife died from cancer. Now, here's a spiritual guy, okay? By the way, I hope you realize all of those Chronicles of Narnia, they're all typical. And there's all great spiritual truth throughout those. But he's going through this trial and he's praying and he says, meanwhile, where is God? Go to him when your need is desperate, when all other help is vain. And what do you find? A door slammed in your face and a sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. After that, silence. You may as well turn away. There are no lights in the window. It might be an empty house. Why is he so present a commander in our time of prosperity and so very absent a help in time of trouble? Let me give you one more illustration. Do you know the name Adoniram Judson? You probably do. Missionary to Burma. Actually, I have this guy went through great trials. I have a book in my library. It's a very unusual name. It's called The Three Wives of Adoniram Judson. Rather strange try. But what the whole point is, wife after wife died. And there was a time when Burma and England were at war, and so they thought these missionaries were spies, and they threw them in jail, and they punished them severely, and just went through great trials. He was separated from his wife and from his child. And toward the end of the imprisonment, he's about to get out, and guess he finds out that his wife has died, and that his daughter has died, his child has died. And he writes a letter to his in-laws, and he says, have either of you ever learned the art of real communion with God? Now, this is a veteran missionary, okay? This is not Johnny that got saved yesterday, all right? He said, can you teach me the first principles? God is to me the great unknown. I believe in him, but I cannot find him. And he was so depressed that he went out and he dug a grave and he sat by that grave and contemplated on these things. God is silent. Now, again, the simple matter of fact is probably every believer, if you've been saved very long, you've experienced that. If you've been through great trial, you've experienced it. David, or the psalmist, experienced it in Psalm 44:24. He said, wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? Now, when I think about this, my obvious next question is, why is God silent? I don't want to give you two things. This is our second point. The reason for God's silence. Now, one, I think, is our part. One is God's part. Why is God sometimes silent in a believer's life and it's the believer's fault? What is the reason? We're not seeking him. I think even deeper than that, there's unconfessed sin in the life. Yeah, sure. Let me give you a couple verses. Deuteronomy 32:20, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Isaiah 1:15 says, and when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And Isaiah 59:2. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. The simple matter of fact is, you may be going through a time when God is silent because you've got unconfessed sin in the life. How does God express his presence to you in your life? Through what person? Through the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, you were immediately indwelt by the Spirit of God. And it's that Spirit, by the way, according to Romans 8, that works with our spirit to help us to know that we're children of God. The Holy Spirit has many works in the Christian lives. Help me here. What are some things that the Holy Spirit does in your life or should be doing or can be doing? He teaches us. He guides us into all truth. He comforts us. Yeah, he is the comforter. He convicts us. What else? He prays for us. I heard another one over here. He does what? He gives us discernment. Is that the idea you're saying? Okay. What else? He intercedes for us. All kinds of things. I've got a list of 10 or 12 here. Gives assurance. He gives, empowers us for witnessing. He controls us, produces the fruit of the Spirit in our life. He sanctifies us. Now, what happens when we have sin in our life? Well, let me read you Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. You see, that person within us who is doing this work of assurance and really shows us the presence of God, all of these things we've talked about, when we sin, what happens? We grieve the Spirit of God. And in 1 Thessalonians, it said not only that, but we quench the Spirit. What does the word quench mean? In this case, it means to extinguish. It puts out the fire. You say, well, you know, I just don't sense the Spirit of God and the presence of God like I once did. You know, it may be that it's a sin problem. See, we can't allow sin to indwell us unconfessed, unforgiven, and expect to know the presence of God. It's just not going to happen. Now think about that for a moment. I don't have much time here. I don't want to get on a big rabbit trail. But think about all the things we said the Holy Spirit does. That's what we lose when we allow sin in our life. We lose the teaching. We lose the guidance. We won't lose the conviction unless you keep doing it long enough. You know? That's what the world tells you to do, by the way. If you feel guilty about something, just keep doing a bunch, and before long you won't feel guilty about it anymore. That's brilliant, isn't it? So, reasons for God's silence. Number one, sin. I think secondly, and this is on God's part, I think there are times that God sovereignly withdraws himself from us. It's just part of his plan. And you know, it's interesting. We read about Job. Job said, I looked this way, that way, everywhere. I couldn't find God. Now, we know the rest of the story, don't we? Was God involved in Job's life? Oh, my, of course. He was in control of the whole thing. I mean, this was all part of God's plan. But for some reason, God had chosen to withdraw himself for that time from Job. Now, by the way, did he have sin in his life? How does the Bible describe Job? He was a righteous man. He hated evil. Okay, we use the word eschewed. Some of you are eschewing your food. No, sorry about that. And he hated it. He's a good man. But Job was being testified. He was being purified. And you know what? When God withdraws himself, boy, it sure helps us to realize how much we need him, doesn't it? Now, a third point, the results of God's silence. Now, there are two. And this is simple. It'll make you or break you, okay? And I'm going to cover in the last point how this can be a great time of spiritual growth. And we see that in Job's life. But I want to spend some time here on how it can be a time of really spiritual disaster. You see, folks, when God chooses to withdraw himself, or he does because of our sin, boy, it can really undermine our faith. And we can come to all kinds of terrible conclusions about God. Now, we've talked about this before. In fact, we may have a few minutes last week. But the simple matter of fact is, there are believers, there are Christians who have gone through great trials when God is silent, and they have concluded that God does not love them anymore. And it may be because of something they've done, I don't know, but they've concluded when they pray that God doesn't care. Maybe they've concluded that God doesn't have the power to help. Now, let's be honest. Again, if you've been saved very long and gone through some trials, you've had time when you prayed and you have prayed, and you have prayed, and you have prayed, and God did not answer your prayer, at least to your knowledge. And you've concluded, you know what? I don't think God hears my prayers. I don't think God cares. Maybe God just can't do anything about it. Now, when we start thinking like that, folks, we're headed down a very dangerous path. Very dangerous path. We may conclude that God doesn't keep his promises. We can conclude some terrible things. And all of these thoughts are like little streams of water eroding the foundation of our faith. And before long, we don't have any faith. And we are in big trouble. And things are affected dramatically. You know, the first thing that happens to a believer, I think, when that happens is they quit serving the Lord. I mean, if God can't answer my prayer, if God doesn't care about me, if God doesn't love me, why serve him? If he's not who he says he is, why serve him? Our life can be dramatically affected. I want you to turn to Psalm chapter 42. By the way, don't go to sleep at this point, okay? Hang with me. It's going to get better, all right? In Psalm 42, let's just read the whole chapter. Written by the sons of Korah. This is the beginning of book two in the Psalms, and the next several are consecutive, all written by the sons of Korah. It says, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say to me, where is thy God? I mean, the psalmist is going through the same thing, folks. I've always kind of thought that was a positive verse in verse 1. But what he's saying is, I'm panting after God, I'm seeking after God, and I'm not finding God. And he goes down, and well, here's what happens, folks. In verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? You go down to verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? What's happening, folks? He's discouraged. He's despondent. He is depressed. We become bitter against God. All of these things, we quit living the Christian life, and boy, we're in trouble. Okay? Now, that can happen. By the way, I won't have you raise your hand, but probably every one of you know a believer that's like that. They went through a trial, and God was silent. And they threw in the towel. And you can't get them to church for the world. Bitter against God. By the way, I hope you're not in that position, because that's a dangerous place to be. I was talking to Kerry Phipps this week, and his mother had this meningitis of some sort. They'd been in church somewhere several years ago, and they had a church blow up. And they quit going to church. It's interesting to me, his dad said to Carrie, hey, when mom gets better, guess what they're going to do? They're going to church. The further we get from God, folks, the bigger stick he may use to get us back with him. It's a dangerous thing. Finally, let's go quickly. The right response to God's silence. What should we do? What should we do? Let me give you a couple passages, then I'm going to have you turn and read with me. But Psalm 27:9, David cries out to God in prayer. Hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. What should you do when God is silent? Cry out to him. And I think I said this song last week. I wasn't going to do it today, but I'm going to anyway. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. The Lord in heaven will answer you. God keeps his promise. His word is true. Just keep on praying till light breaks through. You say, but God doesn't hear. Well, yeah, he does. You may not feel it. But when push comes to shove, what's more important, fact or feeling? You say, well, I think God has left me. Is that possible for a believer? No. He's there. He's there. And we need to cry out to God. Let me give you a couple of other quick passages. In fact, let's look at one. Our time is short here. Psalm 69, verse 13. Psalm 69, verse 13. And here is the psalmist crying out, a psalm of David. He's crying out in verse 13. But as for me, my prayer is unto thee, O Lord, in an acceptable time. O God, in the multitude of thy mercy, hear me. In the truth of thy salvation, deliver me out of the mire. Oh, have you been in the mire, folks? The pit of despair. And let me not sink. Let me be delivered from them that hate me and out of the deep waters. Let not the water flood overflow me. Neither let the deep swallow me up, and let not the pit shut her mouth upon me. Hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good. Turn unto me according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. By the way, what's he doing? He's got a right view of God now, doesn't he? He says, hey, look, God, you are loving. God, you are merciful. In verse 17, and hide not thy face from thy servant, for I am in trouble. Hear me speedily. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. That might be a good prayer to pray right there. And David is crying out to God. God, I'm in big trouble. I need your help. You know what? Have you ever watched your children undertake a task that they could not do, and you knew you could help them, but you didn't help them? What were you waiting for? You were just waiting for them to say, hey, would you help me with this? I'm not telling you what God's doing or what God isn't doing, because I'm not God. But maybe there are times that God just kind of withholds himself because he said, I just want you to see how much you really need me. And I'm just going to kind of withhold my presence until you beg me for it, until you realize how much you need me. And you begin to cry out to God, and God says, okay, here I come. By the way, isn't that what he tells us to do? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You said, but Gary, I've done that. Well, let me remind you of Matthew 7:7. Ask, and the term is, ask and keep on asking, and it shall be given. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. What does God want us to do, folks? Keep on crying out to him. Keep on crying out to him. Don't believe the devil's lies. Don't believe your feelings. Okay? And the second one ties right into that. Not only cry out to God, but seek after God in Scripture. When your faith is being eroded, it needs to be rebuilt. Where do you rebuild your faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You said, well, God's just not speaking to me. That's all right. Hang in there. Keep on in the word of God. Keep on crying out to God. Keep on spending time in the word of God. You know, the worst thing you can do when God is silent is lay his word aside. By the way, God isn't silent. He gave you the whole book here. You know, he's already spoken. Maybe the problem is we're just not listening. Maybe we're not reading the way we should. Stick in the word of God. In Deuteronomy 4:29, it says, but if thou wilt, from thence shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Look, if you want to hear from heaven, get out the book, okay? When people are going through great trials, one of the things I often tell them is, look, ask God to give you a verse. To be your verse for the trial. I mean, whenever the devil comes and says, God doesn't care about you, God doesn't, oh, wait a minute, here's my verse. When we come discouraged and despondent, when God seems to be silent to us, oh, wait a minute, here's my verse. Because the word of God will strengthen your faith. Boy, the one thing you don't want to do when you go through a trial is lay aside the word of God. Don't do that. Even if it's dry. Even if God doesn't seem to be speaking, stay in it. Let God speak to you. I had several passages there. Let me encourage you for your own edification because I'm out of time. Psalm 42 through Psalm 46. I don't usually assign you homework, but I am today, okay? Psalm 42 through Psalm 46. And I'm going to get to your verse here in a minute, so hang on. Psalm 46 is her chapter, and it really helped her this week. In fact, let's turn to Psalm 46 because we're going to use that here in a minute. Here's the third thing I encourage you to do. And that's in verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still. Cry out to God, read his word, and listen. 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 Be still. And you, these are great verses. Now, is verse 1 yours? For the whole chapter? Yes. Yeah. God was preparing your heart, wasn't he? He was preparing you for this trial. And what a great passage. Let's just read the whole thing. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You say, oh, wait a minute. I'm in trouble. I don't feel any help. Remember, this is the word of God. The word of God is true. Keep leaning, folks. Keep resting on the word of God. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Hallelujah, this is bad stuff. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts, oh, what a great verse. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Hallelujah. What a verse. Wonderful truth. Wonderful truth. And the end's there in verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. See, folks, when we stop and let God work, then God gets all the glory. He gets exaltation. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah. Now, let me close. There is a song. Some of you may know it, When God is Silent. It says, when God is silent and we don't know the way before us that we ought to go, when we've attempted to do his will and yet his silence continues still. Let me give you the second verse. When God is silent, it all seems lost. Have you been there? As o'er the waves our boat is tempest-tossed, when answers fail us and doubts arise, but God seems distant, hid from our eyes, here's the answer. Then it's time to trust. Yes, it's time to remember that the Lord is faithful to his own. If we hope, we shall yet be praising once again, for his silence never means that we're alone. What a great truth. God is silent to you today. I would encourage you to examine your heart. Make sure you're not the problem. And if you find that you're not, then I encourage you to continue to cry out to God. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. And listen. And let God speak. Let God speak. The Lord is here. He is indwelling you as a believer. And he wants to help you. He wants to help you. And when he is silent, it's time to seek him and cry out to him and meditate on who he is and listen to his voice. Okay? Lord, we do thank you that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you, Lord, that even when the trial comes and it seems like you are distant and you are silent, that you're there. And I pray as believers, you would help us when these times come to cry out to you, to stay in the Word of God where you can speak to us, and God, help us to listen to your voice. Oh God, how we desire your presence. How we desire a sense of your presence in our life. The sweet, calming Spirit of God. The guiding Spirit. The teaching Spirit. The comforting Spirit. God, we just want to walk with you and know your presence. And I pray you'd help us to live in such a way that we would know that presence on a day-to-day basis. And Lord, if there are folks here this morning that are going through a trial and God is silent, I pray you'd help them to continue to cry out to you, to continue to meditate on the Word of God, and then to listen and be still. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.